from New Hampshire, the Live Free or Die State, comes the second hour of Uncovering the Truth. 2 hours of mentally stimulating, thought-provoking, sometimes maddening, but hopefully always inspiring talk radio. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Ulbrich. We've been visiting this last hour with Jeannie. She was the inspiration for my cancer study. This is the 48-page study that we released last week online at antichips.com/cancer. This is the study that we are sending out to animal health experts around the country, to lawmakers and policymakers who have, unfortunately, and this is something we can get into a little bit, Jeannie, unfortunately been putting in place mandatory microchip ordinances around the country and in various places around the globe. And we really need to get this information out. I think that's crucial. Jeannie, right before the break, I was talking about some of the explanations that have been put forward on these tumors. The foreign body may be the cause. It may be the injection process that's causing it. It may be that something related to this implant has genotoxic qualities or actually affects genetic material in a way that leads to cancer. Or it could be something related to the radio frequency emissions that, you know, people, Jeannie, tend to think of the RFID implant as inert. Have you heard this before? They'll say,
absolutely.
You know, it's just a little
and
piece of glass.
That's one of their selling points.
Yeah, that it has
it
no effect.
Inert.
And yet what we're finding in what anybody who studies radio frequency identification can tell you is that an RFID microchip implant is designed to pick up and amplify even small, minute quantities of ambient or environmental electromagnetic radiation. And we're surrounded by this stuff all the time. So imagine having a device in your body that is designed to pick up and amplify any energy in the environment that just happens to resonate at its frequency, causing that to amplify and be centralized and localized inside your body. So that's one of the other possible hypotheses floating around as to why these things are causing cancer. And I should point out also, for people who have not seen the studies or seen the photographs from the studies, that these cancers typically form around the microchip. They're not just forming next to them, but they're actually encased. When they've removed these cancers from laboratory mice and rats, the cancers in some cases are as big as a plum. If you imagine how huge that would be on the back of a mouse or rat, they remove it, they cut it open, and they're glistening inside of the cancerous tumor is the microchip, literally right there in the center. So, you know, it is very clear, and in fact, the studies were absolutely definitive about this, that the microchips had induced or caused the cancers directly. This is not a superfluous issue. These microchips had given rise to and caused the cancer, and the researchers are very clear in stating that in their studies. In fact, one of the studies is even called microchip-induced sarcoma. So you couldn't get any clearer than that. All right, Jeannie, real quick, I want to go to Sam Otero, who's actually on the line here. He's going to be talking about this upcoming event in Phoenix on Saturday that I'm going to be speaking at. So if you wouldn't mind, Jeannie, why don't we bring Sam on and into the conversation?
Okay, sure, absolutely.
Super. Hi, Sam. Well, I'm gearing up, going to get a chance to actually meet you in person and hang out in Arizona on Saturday. I'm excited. I'm starting to pack my bags. I'm getting all geared up, and I wanted to bring you on the air to talk a little bit about our conference on Saturday.
Sure, absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity, and look forward to finally meeting you. Isn't that strange? You know, you work in this virtual world of activism and get to know people pretty well, and then you just realize that, you know, I never actually sat down and met this person face-to-face.
Isn't that wild? I feel like phenomenon. We've broken bread many times together, but in reality, we will have our first chance to do that on Saturday. That's going to be real exciting.
It's going to be a great event. It's coming together very nice. I wanted to thank you and one of our other presenters, Paymon, from the Freedom Law School, who has tons of experience in this. You guys helped us hammer out a pretty intense schedule. It's going to be a long, intense day, folks. We had give folks an update. You can go to RTR Live, RTRLive.com, and you'll get the latest schedule, the status on the event itself. The most important thing to remember is that we did move. Now, we were scheduled. We had the Grand Ballroom and two other rooms set aside for us at the Arizona State University originally. Well, university caught fire, the Memorial Union caught fire, and they, about 3 weeks ago, called us and told us that all the events were canceled that were held there. So we had to scramble real quick and find a new venue. We did find a new venue, holds about 400 people, very nice space. But we don't have all of the extra rooms that we had on the side for workshops and breakout sessions and things like that. So we're all going to be crammed in one room, and it's going to move quick, folks. So make sure you bring your notepads and pay attention and show up early. You want to be there on time because the event is indeed free. But because we have a limited number of seats, we have to take those that took the time to pre-register first. So make sure that you're there at 8 a.m. ready and raring to go, or there's a possibility that you may lose your seat if we have a lot of people waiting at the door.
And our numbers now are up to, what do we have, like 300, 400 people who come to this thing? It's huge.
A little over 300 registered on the website, and then, of course, I got the call-ins and the mail-ins and whatnot. We're really close to capacity. We're at about 350 right now.
And what is our capacity on our room here? 400. Okay.
Yep.
So any of you in Arizona who have been holding off, delaying till the last minute to make your reservation to come to the event, please, by all means, go on to rtrlive.com. Hop onto the website. Make sure to sign up. You can see the full agenda there. And I'll tell you, there is not going to be a single dull moment. We've got everybody down to a fast clip. We've got a whole bunch of presentations. We're going to be talking about or focusing on how to maximize your effectiveness as an activist, as someone who is aware of the truth and wants to get it out to other people, which is exactly what programs like today, where we're speaking with Jeannie, who is obviously an expert at being able to do that. We'll be talking to other people about maximizing your website, your web presence, maximizing your ability to use new media tools, video, audio, and the like. I will be talking about the effectiveness of protests and online boycott campaigns and all the things that Caspian has done so successfully to stop the RFID menace over the last several years, and probably the reason why you don't have an RFID tag in your shoe right now because of the effectiveness of all that activism. So it's going to be a lot of energy, a lot of terrific, terrific people, some of the most brilliant minds in the freedom movement today, all gathered in one place, and not just the energy of the speaker, but the energy of the other people attending the event. This is going to be a great time to bring your business cards, exchange numbers and interests with other people that will be there in the audience. And in fact, I can tell you this, some of my lifetime best friends I have met at events like this, where you get together and for the first time, maybe in several months or maybe ever in your life, you will be surrounded by like-minded people instead of feeling like you're alone in the default crowd. You'll be around people who get it, people who are willing to roll up their sleeves, take the time to show up at an event, so you know they're active and you know that they're on the ball. And for that alone, it is worth the price of admission, which, Sam, I guess now is free.
Yeah, exactly.
And one other thing.
The value of the event.
Well, no, I've been encouraging you guys to make the price of admission a suggested donation, and I'm going to encourage our listeners to do the same thing.
Well,
because
we need to do that, even though we do have an angel here that stepped forth and paid for the whole thing because she believes in what we're doing and believes that this type of education and event is crucial to taking back this country. We do also believe in personal responsibility. And, you know, the fact of the matter is if you got the money to spare, then, you know, cough it up. I mean, we want people to take this seriously and realize that there's a cost to freedom and education, and we all need to eat and we all need to pay the bills, and you know, nothing comes for free, unfortunately, in this world, other than a little bit of loving now and then. So,
well,
you know.
Well, these events do cost money, and
it costs an enormous amount of money, Catherine. I'm not taking this lightly. I mean, this person really put out a lot for this, and she wishes to remain low key about it. And I think it's wonderful, but like I said, if you do value this, and you have $5 or $20 or $500 that you can give to the cause when you show up, then we would greatly appreciate that. Because what that's going to allow us to do is, number one, produce a really nice DVD of this and put this out for video on the web for free. And we can also then hold more of these events throughout the country. And that's exciting to me. I want to do one up here in the Northeast with you. I think that'd be great.
I'm there. I'm absolutely on it. All right. Well, Sam, thanks for the update. RTRLive.com is the website. If you are last minute, you're a spontaneous person, you want to head down to Phoenix this coming Saturday. The event starts, what did we say, 8 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, it's going to be starting at 8:30. They sign up in the whole preliminary thing at 8 a.m. till 8:30, and we'll get going right around 9. But if you want to go, I know a lot of the folks, you know, in this movement are really kind of kicked back, and they figure they'll just show up. I can't stress this enough. We only have limited space. If you want to go and and you're sure you're going to be there, you need to register online to assure your space. That's RTRLive.com, and we'll see you all in Phoenix on Saturday.
All right. Awesome. Looking forward to it, Sam. I can't wait.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks
Bye.
For calling in.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I want to go back to Jeannie. Jeannie, you know, in thinking about this, you would have been the perfect person to have come out and share your story, because it really, our listeners and all of the energy within the freedom movement, within the truth and honesty movement here in this country, trying to get this country out of the hands of the corrupt special interests, out of the hands of the Mariels and the Verichips and all of the people who would control and surveil and observe us and possibly give us cancer in the process. We're trying to wrest that back, and I think your story is so inspirational for that reason, that you've created this website and just wouldn't stop before you got the information out. So, again, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you've done.
Well, actually, I want to thank you and also Liz, because Liz was the only one who listened and took it seriously. And that... Like I'd mentioned before, I find it rather disturbing that nobody else really took it seriously other than the Italians, who said, yes, we're fascinated. We just finished writing a paper. Send us this and let's see about this. So I thank you guys, actually, because I could have chattered away all I wanted or created a website. But like you say, if nobody reads it and no one's aware of it, well...
Yeah, and I would also put out a thanks to the Associated Press, who was had the courage to publicize this information.
I think he did a wonderful, wonderful job writing that article.
Well, and he embarked on a multi-month investigation after I shared the information. You shared it with me. Then I went out to Harvard and found some additional studies and was able to actually get them in hard copy. These are things that are not even available online. They literally weren't even available in digital form. I had to go and open up the actual journals and take a photocopier and make copies of them and then PDF those and send them. And so he took all of that information and then went on his own investigation because, you know, he, of course, initially was very skeptical, as would anybody, any good investigative reporter.
But so
would
was
be.
I, Catherine.
Yeah.
I, too, was skeptical.
Well, believe me, when you called me, I said, oh, come on, seriously? I mean, this is like world-shaking information. And all of us, I mean, your skepticism just vanishes when you actually read the studies. I mean, plain and simple, you don't have to take our word for it. You
well,
just read
exactly
the studies.
That's exactly my point, too, and that's, sorry to interrupt, that's Creating Leon's website. We have a section, the Advanced Literature Microchip section, and it's basically to say, you don't have to believe me. Here are what the scientists have written. Now take it one step further. And I might add that there is other data that's also very difficult to look at. And in conversations I've also had with vets and pathologists. But back to Todd Lewin, yes, I think it's wonderful. He did write that article, that chip implants linked to animal tumors, and that was released in September, and he did a great job on that.
Well, and you got to realize that's not just Todd Lewin. That's the entire editorial staff of the Associated Press. That's their medical editors, their legal editors. All of them had to take a look at this study and make the decision that the information in there was credible, that it was valid, that he had done his homework, he'd investigated it appropriately, before issuing that story. I mean, the Associated Press really does its homework. I can attest to that from several other articles that I've been involved with the Associated Press, and they're very careful news outlet. And so I think the fact that someone is as cautious and conservative as the Associated Press was willing to come forward with this information is even more of a testament to how valid it is. All right, Jeannie, I want to get to another question here. Other than these rodent and canine studies that show that microchips cause cancer, I want to ask, do you have any other reason to think that these implants can cause tumors?
Well, actually, yes, and I'm glad you brought up that point, because one of the first documents that I found when I began to research the microchip cancer connection, that's the article entitled Tumors in Long-Term Rat Studies Associated with Microchip Animal Identification Devices. Now, you've made reference to that in the paper that you wrote, for those who are interested in reading that. So what I did, Catherine, that was in 2004. I called one of the authors of that paper, and I explained that my dog had developed a fibrosarcoma at the site of the implant. I said, well, is it really possible? I said, is this far-fetched, or is it possible that the microchip caused the cancerous growth? And she flat out told me, she says, well, our research indicates that microchips can and do cause cancer. So that was important. But, of course, I didn't stop there, as you figured out. I called, in 2004 again, I called two representatives of Sharing Plough. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe Sharing Plough does the Home Again microchip implant.
That is correct. And they are selling the Home Again microchip implant is actually manufactured by the same company that makes the Verichip human implant. I should point that out as well. And yes, it's Sharing Plough Home Again. That's the one that people have seen all the ads for with the happy little puppy and, oh, you know, he's such a troublemaker and he'll run away and unless you chip him, you know, he'll probably get put to sleep or something. So yes,
well,
that's Home Again.
And so, yeah, so I am correct there. And in 2004, I spoke with not one, I spoke with two people at Sharing Plough. And I said, well, and I explained Leon's case again. And they admitted to me, they said, this is interesting, Catherine, because they said, yes, we are aware of microchips causing abscesses. And they said, and growths. And I said, of course.
Growths, okay.
I said, what do you mean by growths? Well, they wouldn't expand on it.
I bet.
So those are a few things. And if I may add, there's a post, a veterinary post on the Veterinary Information Network, and that goes back to November, I believe, 24th and 25th of 2003. And there's a veterinarian. She makes reference. Should we come back to that afterwards?
Yeah, sure. We can come back to that. I want to get to more of this evidence about the causing cancer. And then again, I want to open up the phone lines and allow some pet owners to call in and let us know. Have you microchipped your pet? Do you have concerns? Give us a call, 512-646-1984. We'll be right back.
Jesus sharply corrected the Pharisees and Sadducees for their ability to discern the face of the sky, but not the signs of the times. In a similar way, modern sociologists, political science experts, and historians anxiously scour the increasingly volatile socio-political weather, but still ask the question, what is it all leading to? Does End Time provide a product that really nails it down?
I've got wonderful news for all of us. The Bible explicitly states that the prophecies of the Bible or for the people of the time of the end. So we have a product called Signpost of the Second Coming, and it gives all the signs that you and I should know right now concerning the approaching Second Coming of Jesus Christ. We taught it around the country, and it was so well received.
Signpost of the Second Coming DVD is available for a donation of only $20. To order, visit www.endtime.com and click on Shop End Time, or give us a call at 1-800-END-TIME.
Government is best, which governs least.
Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What part of unconstitutional do you not understand, George?
In today's world full of tyranny and injustice, sometimes it seems the only thing we still have is our freedom of speech. Exercise your freedom of speech by purchasing your choice of hundreds of different Liberty stickers, from humorous to serious, at libertystickers.com. LibertyStickers.com can even customize your own bumper stickers. It's time to stand up for what you believe. Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at LibertyStickers.com for your family, friends, and community. Go to LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626. And express your freedom of speech today. Call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626.
Deadline Live and Jack Blood are proud to announce our new bookstore. Okay, it's not really our online bookstore where you can get every title, book, and DVD you hear about on our live show. It's brought to you by the people at Brave New Books. BraveNewBookstore.com is the newest, bravest, and most complete bookstore online today. And their DVD selection has all the titles you need to decode the New World Order and fight the information war. BraveNewBookstore.com has awesome t-shirts to proudly display your patriotism and liberty stickers to alert the public at large. Brave New Books is physically located at 1904 Guadalupe Street under the Chase Bank Building next to UT in Austin, Texas. So stop on by and maybe stay for one of their film showings. Go to BraveNewBookstore.com now to peruse the virtual bookstore and look for the Jack Blood recommended section. Or call them at 866-516-6623. 866-516-6623 to order the books and videos you hear about on Deadline Live. Be the resistance. Tell your friends about BraveNewBookstore.com.
Online and on demand, this is We the People Radio Network.
And welcome back to Uncovering the Truth. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Albrecht. We're speaking this hour with Jeannie, the owner of Leon the Bulldog, who developed a fibrosarcoma at the site of his ID microchip implant. Now, these implants have been implanted into literally millions of dogs and cats around the United States. Regularly, humane societies are requiring that they be implanted in animals before they release them for adoption from animal shelters and other facilities. There are thousands of veterinarian offices around the country that routinely microchip dogs and cats with these implants. There is even a chipmobile, a mobile chip implantation mobile that Celeste Bishop up in Washington State has told us about. She's actually gone out to protest and to inform people who are bringing their animals to that chipmobile about this microchip cancer link. And yet the companies themselves are really dismissing this information. They're doing it in a way that is it's not truthful. I mean, I don't want to come out and say lie, but I guess a strong misstatement or use of untruth would pretty much say the same thing. If you go to our website at antichips.com/cancer, you can see on there that we've got a couple of different misstatements that have been made by the company, whose stock value, by the way, I should point out, at one point plummeted to half of its earlier value as a result of this, and is only now coming back up again because they're now talking about, in the case of human implantation, implanting these into diabetics and coming up with a glucose monitor that would be able to monitor a patient's glucose or sugar level in their bloodstream right through the implant. Now, why would we say that that's not a good thing? Well, many people are, especially people listening to the program, are kind of see the bigger picture of corruption and abuse of power within our society and the direction that we're going in becoming a police state and a surveillance state, that we believe that the microchip is just a step on the way. It's sort of one of the steps on the ladder leading to overall government control. So there's many other pieces to this. But Jeannie, before we went to our break, you were talking about some of the research that you had found about some other concerns related to these microchip implants. Why don't we go ahead and lay that out for listeners?
Oh, sure. Can I just finish that last thought before we went to the
Please.
Break?
Please, yes.
What I wanted to say was that there was a veterinary post that was on VIN, that's the Veterinary Information Network, and that was in November 24th, 2003. And actually, there's a veterinarian who makes reference to a pathologist who had seen 5 fibrosarcomas around microchip implants. And that link can be found on Leon's site in the layman's literature microchip section. However, this is when you were saying it's tricky to find this information. I think you actually need a subscription. And the only reason I got a hold of that was because someone had gave it to me, and they said, oh, I think you'd be interested. So this was actually a veterinarian. This isn't just two people having a conversation, making it up, or dog owners. This is a veterinarian.
Now, I'm on your website, Jeannie. Point me to that study.
Okay, go to the layman's literature microchip section.
Okay, and there?
And the links are sorted alphabetically, and I believe off the top of my head it's vin.com. So you'll have to scroll down a bit.
Okay, I am seeing it right here.
Right, and I put that little blurb, but I think when you click on, I think you have to have a subscription, and that comes back to when you asked me before, well, how difficult is it to find some of this stuff? Well, it's pretty difficult.
Well, and even if you have a subscription, much of the information is not available through online sources, which is why we made a point of making those original studies available on our website. So the two websites you want to check out if you're looking into this research is Jeannie's website, of course, at noble-leon.com or .org, and our website at antichips.com/cancer, and there you can find a lot of this information. I'm actually on this VIN website, and you'll have to point me after we get off the air to find the specific website, because it's just taking me to the VIN website overall. It's not taking
me
specifically
to that mention.
Well, see,
that's the problem. I think that's what happens. But at least I made a reference there, and people can follow through. And, yes, I can steer you in the direction after the program. May I also mention there was an article that I recently found, and we recently added that to the advanced literature section, microchip section of Leon's website, and that actually it has to do with a bat, and the article is entitled Microchip-Associated, forgive me if I pronounce this incorrectly, leiomyosarcoma
right.
in an Egyptian fruit bat.
Right. So we're seeing these in other animals as well, not just in laboratory animals and dogs, but there's an increasing number of animals being microchipped. Few people realize, but literally millions of salmon up in the Pacific Northwest have been microchipped, and the corporation, I believe it's Digital Angel Corporation or Applied Digital Solutions, they've got this whole shell game of different families that are all part of this Digital Angel family, including the Verichip microchip and the chips that are used for Home Again and Shearing Plow. But they actually boast that they have the world's biggest microchip reader, which is this enormous flow-through pipeway that when these salmon go through, they actually surround them on all sides with a microchip or with a electromagnetic radiation to read their microchips as they go flowing through a river. So it's really, you know, their picture, their strategy long-term is to have these things implanted in as many animals as possible to make it part of the National Animal Identification System and plant them into horses and dogs and cats and all of the farm animals. Animals and cows and pigs and chickens and goats, you name it. And in order for them to achieve that goal, they really have to keep this information about the cancer link and the other medical issues under wraps. They've got to keep that quiet. So I'm sure they're horrified to see that it's now caused cancer in a bat as well. You know, bat is not, you know, normally not a household pet. So now we're beginning to see these occurring in wildlife as well. And how many other wildlife has been tagged and released out into the wild that didn't even have the follow-up to find the cancer?
Well, see, that's a very, very important issue, because what I want to say is that Leon was extremely well monitored. I mean, we were literally with each other 24/7. And it just so happened that it was a kid who was playing with him who happened, as I mentioned earlier, I think she just must have ruffled his neck the right way, because even then when she said, oh, Leon has a lump, and I immediately went to check, I had to really palpate to find that. So that actually lends hand in hand with what you're saying. It also lends hand in hand, Catherine, with your, in those, some of the articles that you referenced in your microchip cancer paper, where they said, well, actually these are the pathologists. It's probable that these percentages are higher. We were just looked at some of them that were really obvious and you could see with the naked eye.
Now, one of the defenses that the industry makes to try to protect itself here is they will say, and I'll play devil's advocate for a moment, is they'll say, you know, come on, Jeannie, there are only two dogs that we know of that have gotten this microchip-induced or associated cancer. That's out of millions of dogs that have been microchipped. There have been no other problems in any other dogs. What would you say in response to that?
Well, that actually is why I took the time to write that piece of reporting Leon's adverse reaction. And that's to say, even if you want to report an adverse reaction, you get really nowhere. So that was really important.
So the implication being that this is happening to other pet owners, it is happening to other dogs, but we're not hearing about it because the owners don't have a way to get that information to us?
Well, I think also one of the things that I learned, Catherine, one of the many things that was very surprising is why aren't the vets reporting this? Why did I even have to report this? I took the initiative to report this, and something this should have been reported by the veterinarians. What I learned is they are not obliged to report adverse or suspected adverse reactions to microchips or any veterinary products.
Well, and that would seem to be a conflict of financial interest because they make money from this procedure.
So, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So they're obviously not going to be, you know, falling over themselves to tell the public that there's a problem with the procedure that in some cases is accounting for, you know, quite a considerable amount of income for these vets. All right, we're speaking with Jeannie, the owner of Leon the Bulldog. Again, our phone number here, 512-646-1984, and I'll read some of your emails on the air right after this, kma@spychips.com.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. The basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Fabrique Nationale makes a rifle known as the Fusil Automatic Légère, or Light Automatic Rifle, considered to be the right arm of what's left of the free world. If you're familiar with FNFAL, then visit GunPartsGuy.com, an excellent source for parts, accessories, and technical support for all FAL rifles. If you'd like to modify or upgrade your FAL, the Gun Parts Guy has a great selection of new, refinished, and refurbished parts. The Gun Parts Guy doesn't have a federal firearms license, and he doesn't want one, but he is the source for parts and the best FAL kits today. Call James at 360-906-8369 or email gunpartsguy@hotmail.com. You'll be pleased with the personal care and technical support you get from the Gun Parts Guy. That number again, 360-906-8369. Whether you call or visit the website at gunpartsguy.com, be sure to mention WTPRN to get an additional 10% discount off their already low, low prices.
Republican presidential candidate Ron Paul is unique. Congressman Ron Paul has a principled, consistent voting record that is not dictated by special interests in Washington. Ron Paul has stood resolute against our government's interference overseas, in our economy, and in our personal lives. Ron Paul is the champion of the Constitution. Ron Paul's candidacy is hope for America. Be a part of it. Join us. Thousands already have. Ron Paul has received more donations from men and women in the military than any other candidate. Don't believe the cynical lie that we can't fight the big money that funds politics as usual. People of every age, race, and background, united by a message of freedom, peace, and prosperity, are ready to take this country back. Learn more at RonPaul2008.com. That's RonPaul2008.com.
This is Ron Paul, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
This message brought to you by grassroots efforts to elect Ron Paul.
Lighting the fires of liberty with your host, Michael Badnarik, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central, Monday through Friday, only on We the People Radio Network.
And we're back with Jeannie talking about the microchip cancer story, and not just the microchip cancer link, but also her own experience of how tenacious, what amount of tenacity it took for her to get this story published, written up in an actual medical journal or a veterinary journal, and also get this information out to the public. And for that, we owe Jeannie a tremendous debt of gratitude. Jeannie, I want to go to a couple of emails here, and I want to remind people that our phone lines are open. If you'd like to ask Jeannie a question, if you'd like to call in and just weigh in on microchip implants, do you think they're a good idea? Do you think that the upsides of being able to get an animal back or be able to identify an animal are greater than the downsides of the potential for a health risk associated with it? We'd like to know your opinion on that. You can give us a call here at We the People Radio Network, 512-646-1984. Give us a call in our studios in Austin, Texas. Or you can dial us toll-free at 888-202-1984. We'd like to get your thoughts on this. And in the meantime, Jeannie, let me go to a couple of emails that we've received. I've got one here. This is from Jay, and he writes, "I think the digital devil is a bait and switch. It is not the technology they really want. Are they using the digital devil?" And this is, of course, a reference to the digital angel. "Are they using the digital devil to test the waters? Now the cancer link lets them acknowledge our objections and eliminate the digital devil, when what they really wanted from the beginning is a mind control chip. They assured us this is never the newer updated in anti-cancer, or they will assure us that this is a new updated anti-cancer tested chip. In southeastern Pennsylvania, we have the new track and trace grid already in place. The big roads have RFID MMEA readers built into them. They also have the optical cameras to match the tags and chips to specific vehicles at a certain place, date, and time. They also record your lane and speed as you drive down the road. The optical cameras are day and night capable. And I'm sorry, this is actually from John, and he did not say mind control chip. I added that in. He actually said what they really want from the beginning is the MMEA chip. All right, let me put this back to you, Jeannie. Do you think that there's a bigger picture? Do you have concerns that go beyond simply the microchipping of animals by companies that are irresponsible and not sharing the results of this research?
Oh, well, absolutely, Catherine. And that's why when I started to look at this, I looked at it from a very, very small point of view. It was the first question was, well, could this microchip have caused the cancer? And then it just turned into more and more. Then I learned there were other health risks associated with microchip implants. I learned that these things are not reported. Then I started to learn, which you had known all of the time, about all of the privacy implications. There's how it affects the agricultural industry. Even people have religious concerns. So it's something, and I suppose you could even say environmental concerns, because then these chips end up, I think, with the fish, and the, you can expand on that, I think, if you wish, for your listener, with the microchip, the fish.
Yeah,
and the birds.
There's actually
environmental concern.
Yeah, I mean, somehow these chips wind up going somewhere when all is said and done. And in the case of the microchips in the salmon up in the Pacific Northwest, they actually say that if you fly over some of these islands in I want to say British Columbia, but that's not right, in the Columbia Basin, that you will actually see that some of these islands literally glisten from excreted microchips from the birds that have eaten the fish and then excreted these microchips out into their nests and out onto the ground. The water washes away everything and leaves behind the microchip implant, and they're just glistening there, lying on the ground, so that, you know, there's a big environmental question about what happens when you do this as well. But, you know, Jeannie, you raised something important that I want to make sure we get to, and these are some of the other health concerns of microchip implants. We've identified a number of them in our study, which, of course, came from this research, and maybe we should take a few minutes to talk about what those are.
With regards to, other than the cancer microchip link,
right,
that's what you're referring to, correct?
Right, because the cancer may just occur in a small percentage of animals, even in the laboratory,
sure,
mice and rats, it's 1%. But you're seeing a much higher rate of things like migration, things like abscess,
exactly,
and
that's
infection.
Yes, sorry to interrupt, but that's according to the British Small Animal Veterinary Association. And plus, you might want to, for your listeners, and I think you've gone through some of this before, but it's worth repeating, it's the risks to health as listed by the FDA.
Right, and those are
documents.
Yeah, those are every bit as relevant, I think, to microchipping animals as they are to chipping humans. And
it's hand in hand.
Yeah, and those
absolutely
include the issue of MRI incompatibility, that the higher powered MRI machines actually interact in a dangerous way with these microchip implants, can potentially cause them to heat up or shift location inside of the animal's body. We know that needle stick is one of the issues, and in fact, I cite someone who talked on a website actually about an adverse reaction in which their white dog with nice white fur, that there was difficulty getting the injection device in, and their white fur was just saturated with blood. There is, of course, that story about the cat, Jeannie, the cat that was microchip implanted, and the technician accidentally stuck the microchip into the cat's brainstem and led
right
to the animal's immediate
and
death.
Just so people think that you're not making that up, that's coming from the British Small Animal Veterinary Association microchip report. I was horrified when I read that, and apparently they referred to a struggling kitten. They were implanting the chip, and it sounds like they accidentally killed the kitten, and they did an autopsy, and it said, well, they found the microchip in the brain stem.
Unbelievable. And that was one of the things that came up repeatedly in the studies I was looking at, was this whole issue of technician error, that it's apparently pretty difficult to angle this in just the right way to get it in just the right part of the animal. And in fact, there's another study out that I believe you might have pointed me to about the cat who was paralyzed when they injected this into its spinal column.
Oh, exactly. I found that, and we recently, for those who are interested in following through on that, we recently added that link to the advanced literature microchip section of Leon's website, and that's exactly it, a major, major spinal cord injury just from implanting it. And, Catherine, actually, there's all of that from the risks to health as stated by the FDA, and now that we just touched on that, is with regards to that Dutch website where they refer to the horses and they put photos and they speak of these implants causing problems for the horses.
Yeah, and that is a website that if you make sure you're not in the middle of eating your sandwich or anything when you take a look at this website, because it's just absolutely awful. And it is online at Anti-Chip, and this was not this wasn't my doing. They came up with that name on their own, Anti-Chip without an S, antichip.nl for Netherlands. And as you know, I was recently over in the Netherlands giving a talk on RFID in Amsterdam, and I was contacted by an organization over there that is protesting the mandatory chipping of animals across the European Union. They're very concerned about the chipping of horses. And if you go on to antichip.nl, over on the left-hand side, you'll see that there is a Dutch language menu and then underneath it an English language menu. And if you click on photos in that English language menu, I'm telling you, you will see some pictures that will absolutely horrify you. One of them is of a horse whose microchip implant apparently went into a nerve and has now made this horse extremely high-strung. The horse can no longer move its head to the right, doesn't know how to move or keep her head to relieve the pain. Riding her has become dangerous. I'm reading directly from the website. Even when she's relaxing in the meadow, she shows signs of pain by constantly moving her head in all directions. Conclusion by the veterinarian is that neurological damage as a result of injecting the microchip is the cause of all of these problems. So you can see this beautiful animal that has been, for all intents and purposes, destroyed by this microchip in her neck. Underneath there you see a picture of a foal. This is a small baby horse whose microchip implant got badly infected. It's an absolutely horrific picture of what can happen when one of these foreign bodies goes into an animal. You've got to realize in farm animals, they're injecting these not in sterile laboratory conditions, but out in the muck and the mire of the barnyard. And that is like the last place in the world you want to be implanting a foreign body into an animal, running the risk of injection-related sarcoma, in addition to running the risk of a foreign body reaction and infection and all the other things we know that this can cause. You can see a whole host of pictures here. There's another one of it looks like a donkey to me, but I believe it may be a horse here. But you can see a big lump on the side of the horse's head where the microchip has led to a huge tumor. I don't know if this is malignant or benign, but it's horrific. On and on and on. So this is at antichip.nl. You can see all the problems in horses. And, you know, Jeannie, these are just the people who've taken the time to make a website. Let me ask you, how much time do you estimate you've put into this issue and into the NobleLeon.com website?
Well, I suppose I could answer that in one way. A friend of mine the other day said, well, Jeannie, what have you been doing recently? And I said, I work for a dead dog for free.
Well, I'm guessing hundreds of hours at least.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Overwhelming.
Yeah, and who has that kind of time? So the fact that we're hearing about this from the people who've taken the time to write about it, I know that there are many more stories out there. If you've got a microchip dog or cat, give us a call. I'd like to know what your thoughts are. And then, Jeannie, when we come back, I want to ask your advice for people whose pets are microchipped. We'll be right back with more right after this.
And the trends in the last several years, if not decades, has been to expand the size and scope of government and minimize and attack personal liberty.
And that's why you need to join us for the Hope for America Conference and Ron Paul Rally in Phoenix, Arizona on Saturday, December 8th. Join Dr. Catherine Albrecht, Ernest Hancock, Bill Still, Tommy Crier, Joe Bannister, George Shepard, Payman Motaheda, Alan Corwin, and myself, Samuel Anthony Otero, on December 8th in Phoenix, Arizona for a full day of intense intense education, motivation, and hands-on training. This RTR Media event is presented by Restore the Republic and sponsored by the We the People Radio Network. And admission is absolutely free of charge. But you must pre-register. Visit us online at rtrlive.com or phone 814-553-9372. That's rtrlive.com or 814-553-9372. And remember, hope for America lies within you. This is Sam Otero, and let me ask you a question. Are you a sheep? Would you like to be tracked and tagged like livestock? Well, of course not. That's part of the reason why you're listening to the We the People Radio Network. You've said no to Big Brother, and you listen to WTPRN for the latest news and information from the greatest assemblance of freedom-loving talk show hosts that this country has ever seen. But we need you to be more than only a listener. We need you to get directly involved with this network and to help the network grow to reach more people. Support the We the People Radio Network and help us spread the good news that the American people are now awake and on fire to reclaim what is theirs. Tell all of your friends about WTPRN.com, spread the word, and donate today to help us continue to grow and affect great social change. Play our broadcasts at your place of business. Email your friends about your favorite hosts. Put our chip-in contribution button and banners on your website. But whatever you do, do it big. Come on, don't be a chicken. Stand up for your rights and help us wake up America. Tell the world about WTPRN and contribute to our funding drive so that we can continue to promote your freedom drive. You're a listener of the We the People Radio Network. You should be proud to tell the world that. And you should be proud to tell us here at the network that you value our efforts. For without the support of you, the people, well, then we're just the radio network. And, well, that's kind of lame, don't you think? We the People Radio Network. Go to WTPRN.com and donate today.
Remember, remember the 5th of November.
I'm Ron Paul, and you're listening to We the People Radio Network.
And welcome back to the final segment of Uncovering the Truth. We've been visiting for the last 2 hours with Jeannie, the owner of Leon the Bulldog. And actually, Jeannie, I want to go to a couple of emails that we've received here. One email coming in from Rick. He actually says, I remember reading a book by G. Edward Griffin about cancer. And, of course, G. Edward Griffin and I both star in the film America, Freedom to Fascism. I had an opportunity to meet Ed Griffin at Aaron Russo's home and have dinner together. And in his book, the basic idea is that cancer is more of a nutritional deficiency. He's got some ideas about perhaps how cancer could be cured. But, Jeannie, one of the things I want to raise here is something I brought up in my study, which is this idea of the toxic cocktail, that we're seeing a dramatic increase in the levels of cancer both in our pets and in our loved ones and in ourselves. And it seems to me that even if only a small percentage of animals get cancer from these microchip implants, that with all of the environmental exposures that we have to carcinogens, that we really wouldn't want to add to that carcinogenic load with one more thing that could maybe push an animal over the top. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, well, I agree with you. And I think when you did your explanation for the tumors, you did a great job for the possible reasons that they may be occurring.
Well, you know, if you've got a foreign body in there, the body has to respond to that in a specific set of ways. And if the immune system is functioning and is in top form, then typically the body can handle a foreign body in that way. The host can handle that. But when the immune system is a little bit depressed, when it's not functioning at full gear, maybe because of other environmental toxins that it's also got to fight off, and it just makes it that much more challenging and raises the possibility that the body, something will go wrong in that process of trying to deal with this microchip implant.
Well, yes, I would agree with you. And if you don't mind, you know, there's a point that you've made with your explanations for tumors. And if I may just read an email, and you can actually take a lot of things out of this. This is a response by a veterinarian to a woman who had a concern because the microchip in her dog, according to her email, migrated not once but twice. And she had some other concerns, and I think she obviously made reference to she wanted to know about the cancer microchip connection. So she asked this veterinarian. This is interesting, Catherine, because it ties in with one of your explanations for the tumor. And it also shows how they always point the finger at the other, their competitors, the microchip competitors, and they really actually just shoot themselves in the foot. But this gentleman, this is a veterinarian, and he's responding to this lady, and it says, I think we spoke about the fact one manufacturer, and in brackets, not us, named their chip, of course. So it says, I think we spoke about the fact one manufacturer sheathed the chip in a polypropylene encapsulation, supposedly to prevent migration. Listen to this. This indeed can produce foreign body reaction that appears to be as described in the abstract. And indeed, it would not surprise me that it may progress to a fibrosarcoma as described.
Now, I'm not familiar with any microchip implant that does not use an anti-migration capsule. The Avid one does, the Homegen does, the Verichip human implant does, they all do. And the Biomedic laboratory animal insert does. And in fact, if you don't, you get an even bigger problem with migration, which for people who aren't familiar with this research, migration is when you implant the microchip and it tunnels through the body like a little glass torpedo and winds up in a different location. In fact, in one of the studies where they found the cancer forming around these things, 19% of the cancers were not in the original location where these things were implanted. They had tunneled and moved into the animal's limbs and into their heads and other parts of their bodies to cause cancer there. So if you don't put an anti-migration sheath around there, you may not get cancer. You may, because the research actually shows that smooth surfaces like glass are more likely to cause cancer than rough surfaces like the coating. But even if you could somehow prevent the cancer in that way, you're going to have a huge problem with this thing tunneling through the flesh of the body, causing pain, causing inflammation, and ultimately causing cancer maybe in other parts of the body. So that doesn't sound like the solution at all. That's crazy. All right, Jeannie, in the last couple of minutes that we have left here during the program, I want to go to the phone. So we've had some callers waiting patiently on the line. And I also want to ask you, I want to make sure that we leave time so that you can give some advice to other pet owners as to what you think they should do. But first, let's go to Quince in Pennsylvania. Hi, Quince. You're on live with Jeannie. Go ahead.
Thanks, Catherine. This is one of those shows that is so fascinating. I hesitate to even call in because there's more and more information getting presented every minute, and I just hate to interrupt the flow of it. But I have a question for Jeannie, and that's what can the individuals do in their communities to help get this information out to the general public? Is there some place, a website we can click on that is media-friendly so we can call our local talk show hosts and our local TV stations and say, hey, have you guys ever covered this story? It's huge, and you're not covering it. So what can we do?
Oh, well, thank you for calling, and thank you for that question. I think what to do is Leon's website, that's as Catherine has mentioned, is noble-leon.com. If the reader wants to go and look, read a bit, go to the Advanced Literature Microchip section, and those are case studies, which will take you to that scientific data, and there's wonderful, wonderful information, wonderful articles and links in the layman's literature microchip section. And actually, as I had mentioned briefly, to say, you know, this is bigger than just even cancer. It's bigger than even health implications. Then there are the privacy, religious, environmental, agricultural concerns, which apply to animals and humans. So it's huge. So what I would suggest, and also to Catherine's the websites, the spy chips and the anti-chips. But the layman's literature microchip section of Leon's website, you want to talk about being overwhelmed and fascinated. Go there and start reading the articles that people have written and their links. It's really amazing.
If I can be so bold to make a suggestion that you create a very succinct news release that people like myself can just go copy, paste it into an email, and send it to these local stations with our phone number saying, if you want to contact me, I will put you in touch directly with somebody to interview. That'll keep it short and simple, because a lot of these news people, they just want something short that they can just say, okay, let's run this.
Well, and I'll add one more thought to that also, Quince and Jeannie, which is a couple of YouTube videos on this, a couple of bumper stickers, microchips cause cancer, and then a link to a website. There's lots of ways for people, because right now we're so overwhelmed and bombarded with information that we need to be short, sweet, and concise. And I know Jeannie and I sometimes, Jeannie, we get so caught up in the details that we forget that for many people, this information is brand new. They don't need to know the big picture, or they don't need to know all the details. They just need to know the big picture. Microchip implants cause cancer in laboratory animals and dogs, plain and simple.
Thank you so much for covering this subject, Catherine, and it's a pleasure to hear the show.
Hey, I appreciate it, Quince. Thanks for calling in.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, Jeannie, I want to get to, in the couple of minutes that we have left of the show, I want to get to the question that's probably on everybody's minds, which is, if I have a dog or a cat that has been microchipped and have heard this information and am and horrified at what I'm hearing, what can be done? What can I do? What should I do as a pet owner?
Well, I think I'd have to agree with some of the things that you pointed out in your article for people whose animals have these chips. What can they do? And obviously consult with your veterinarian, but as you mentioned, avoid any injections at or near the site of the microchip implant. And in fact, I'd like to mention that I discussed that with the pharmaceutical representative when we were discussing Leon's fibrosarcoma. And this gentleman, he's actually a veterinarian, and he agreed with me on that, Catherine, because you're creating, I'd say, a double inflammatory effect. The other thing is, just periodically check that there aren't any lumps at or near the site of the microchip implant.
That's assuming you can find it. Yeah, that's assuming
exactly.
It hasn't migrated. A lot of people can't find these chips.
That's what leads me to the other thing is, whenever your animal goes for a checkup, just ask the vet to scan the chip and make sure it's working correctly and that it hasn't migrated. And if it has, where is it? The other thing we briefly touched on, I think that's very important, and actually I'm not even sure if your vet can answer this question. The FDA mentions MRI incompatibility with the microchip implant. And there are people, Catherine, some of the animals do require MRIs. I know it, you think that just for humans, but I have friends and their animals have had to have MRIs. So what do you do? I'm not sure how to answer that question.
Well, the Verichip Corporation actually says in its own disclosure literature that you have to sign to get a microchip implant as a human, that that you should not get a microchip implant if you are not capable of discussing any unusual sensations with the MRI technician. So that would certainly be dogs and cats, wouldn't it?
Well, yes. I mean,
they could be getting burned or in pain, and they can't tell the technician that the microchip is burning them internally.
And that's very, very, very important. And something else I'd like to mention is, you know, people use modalities such as acupuncture, magnetic therapy, and these are things obviously to discuss with your veterinarian, and they need to research this more clearly, more thoroughly, is with regards to the acupuncture and magnetic therapy. How does that affect? I asked a veterinarian, and she said, well, if the microchip is on the acupuncture meridian, it may affect the energy flow.
Wow, and not to mention the fact that these microchips have a ferrite or a metal, an iron-based core, so any magnetism in the area could be a problem. Of course, we recommend that all further microchipping of animals and humans be discontinued until the jury comes back on this whole issue. Hey, Jeannie, this has been fascinating. We'll have to get you back on the program. There was so much more I wanted to get to, but I wanted to thank you for taking this time to be with us.
Well, thank you for having me, because I think this information is so important to share with other people.
All right. You're listening to Uncovering the Truth. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks.
Thanks, Catherine.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
Great host, great topics, free speech at its best. This is We the People Radio Network.